preseason games in full swing, Sean, and got a couple of teams going over to Europe already. I mean, this is it. The start of the season is just around the corner. You got the Nashville Predators. They're on their way to Bern, Switzerland. Are they probably there by the time you listen to this? It's San Jose Sharks. They're going to Berlin. They're going to meet in Prague, open the season on October 7th and 8th. We're getting there, Sean.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been the first time in Europe since 2019. Another sense of normalcy here. It's something that the NHL has done on a regular basis to kind of build their footprint throughout Europe. I was lucky enough to be on that last trip to Europe, and it was to Sweden with the Sabres and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it was fantastic. It's so much fun for the players, especially the ones that are going back home. To have that opportunity to share things with their teammates, and show them home, right? Because they come here and they're tourists for the most part. You know, some of them settle here and make lives here, but they show up here and it's all new to them. And somebody takes them under the wing and says, "Oh, you know, here's this, here's that, here's Chipotle, here's whatever." And then these players get to go home and do the same thing. Like when we went to Sweden and we got to Stockholm, like the Max Burger was the big thing, right? Like, oh, you gotta go. Like all the Swedish players, like that was the first stop, like the bus stopped at the hotel and they all walked out the door instead of going to their rooms, right? Or, you know, that Victor Hedman couldn't wait to get Swedish candy and give it to all his teammates, right? And you look at Victor Hedman and you're like, this dude's gonna stop and get candy? Like, what's going on here? But he could not wait. And so it's great. And both teams are going to have an absolute blast. And it's great for the teams, too, because they get to build a little bit. They get that long flight to sit and get to know the new players on their team. And then they're in a strange place for a long time. They do team dinners together. They do excursions together. Some guys just sit and play cards the whole time, which just blows my mind. They never even get outside. They go to Europe and they don't leave the hotel and they play cards. But to each their own, I guess.
Yeah, look, the last time I did one of these for the regular season games was in 2017 when I went to Stockholm with the Ottawa Senators and the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, to your point, Sean, I remember I was doing a story with Gabriel Landeskog with the Avalanche, and we were walking around, but around the hotel and outside sort of by the old town area of Stockholm, Gamlestaden, which was, we weren't in old town, but we were just on the other side of the river. And you know, he's from there. This is his hometown. And he was, you know, talking about things about what it meant to him to be back there and, you know, people who were coming and, you know, where he grew up. It was really interesting because you see that different side of them. And we actually, you know, to tease it, we have two interviews today for the, you know, on this podcast. We spoke with Tomas Hertl, the San Jose Sharks. The games that they're going to be playing are in Prague, where he's from. So you'll hear that interview soon. And we spoke with Roman Josi, who with the Predators, the defenseman, he's going to be playing in Prague. But most important for him is they're going to be going to Bern. They're on their way or already there in Bern, Switzerland, where he grew up, where he is from. He played for SC Bern, the team that they are going to be playing against in an exhibition game. In fact, I was there years ago when Roman Josi was playing for SC Bern and the Rangers were there to play an exhibition game against his team. By the way, they won 8-1. Roman Josi talks a little bit about that. We talked to both of those guys at the Player Media Tour in Las Vegas. So you're going to hear those interviews shortly. But it is that time when, Sean, these guys get to show their cultures, what they know, what they're about. And one of the things that struck me in the interview, and you'll hear it soon, that we did with Tomas Hertl, is him talking about, hey, if you go to Prague, you got to try the beer. And that, I know when we were sitting there in the room, Sean, that perked you up a lot because you are a resident beer guy on the podcast. I'll just drink whatever it is. You are far more sophisticated in your choices. And I thought it was really interesting that was one of the things that Hertl brought up. But it does speak to the culture that these guys get to show. And oh, by the way, they get to go play hockey, start the season off in a unique environment for a lot of these players too.
Yeah, no, it is great. And look, when I think anybody that's been to Prague or has read about Prague knows the beer is unbelievable, right? It's fresh, it's cheap, it's just unbelievable. And I was happy to hear, you know, everybody knows Pilsner Urquell, and that's the blonde. Everybody, you know, knows that beer and the Budvar, which is what Budweiser here is based on. But he was a big fan of the brown beer there, which is fantastic. And you know, with a nice pork shank and some bread dumplings, you got a night, a nice cool fall night in Prague. I'm a little jealous of Nick Kostanica and Emily Benjamin that are going over with those two teams. They're going to have a blast. But yeah, no, it is unique. And I've been lucky enough to see games in Prague, whether it was World Cup exhibitions for the most recent World Cup, or I saw the Bruins and the Coyotes in 2011 there. And you know, it was unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable wherever you go, because there's such a passion for the NHL game. And it's only grown since the games have become more attainable, right? Like, you could see them now. I remember I went to the first ever, it was called the Premier Games at the time. It wasn't the Global Series. It was in London. They played two games, and it was the Anaheim Ducks, who had just won the Cup, and the Los Angeles Kings. And you met a ton of fans, and they talked about the lengths they had to go through to watch games, whether it was trading tapes or whatever it might be, you know, satellite TV, whatever it is. And now in most of these countries, there's an ability to see games live. You have to stay up really late, although the NHL has done a really smart thing throughout Europe, and they play a Saturday afternoon game, and that's a Saturday game in
prime time
Europe. Yeah, that's readily viewable. So like, young players that have come into the league now have grown up with the NHL and the ability to see highlights and the ability to see condensed games and whatever it might be. So it's a little bit easier. But when this whole experiment started, seeing the game live for some people was the only way to see it in its entirety. And it's amazing to be, you know, it's very much like the Winter Classic or the outdoor games, where people are like, oh, you do this all the time. You know, it's lost some of its luster. It doesn't lose its luster in the markets. I mean, people are so excited to see the NHL, to see these stars that they watch from afar. And for kids, it's an opportunity to say, I can be that. Like, there's Roman Josi, he played for my club, and look at him now. He's playing for the Nashville Predators. He's won the Norris Trophy, and there he is in the flesh. He's not this thing on TV anymore. I can interact with him. So it's really important, and the players treat it that way.
Yeah, and having been to some of these games where it's a homecoming game too, like I specifically remember it was back in 2011, I believe it was, where I did the I called it the European tour with the Rangers. And we started out, we went to Prague. They played an exhibition game in Prague. And by the way, side note, we'll never forget, John Tortorella was the coach. We get to Prague and the Rangers are practicing. And of course, Jaromir Jagr, that was his first year back in the NHL. John Tortorella, first question asked to him by a Czech reporter, what do you think about Jaromir Jagr being back in the NHL? And John Tortorella goes, I don't give a darn about Jaromir Jagr. Let's go. I want to play already. Right. And he said it in a different way that I'm not going to put publicly here, but it was very interesting. It was like, oh, here we go. We're ready to go. But it was a great trip because they played in Prague and then they went to Gothenburg. And that was the homecoming game for Henrik Lundqvist. He played against his brother, against the team that he played for. And that was, it's what the people in Bern are going to experience with Roman Josi. Right. I mean, that's what that experience is going to be like. These fans who grew up, some of them watching Roman Josi as he was a teenager, becoming a professional, some of them who've idolized, some of the younger ones who've idolized him because he's from their town and he is an elite NHL defenseman or Norris Trophy winner. That's going to be a great homecoming, just like the Henrik Lundqvist game was back in 2011. Then the same thing was Marian Gaborik going to Bratislava to play a game. I remember there were high winds in Gothenburg and I was traveling with the team at the time. We couldn't leave the night after the night before the game. So it was like that time we woke up in Sweden. The Rangers played a game in Slovakia, flew to Switzerland to play a game in Zurich, and went to bed in Zurich. So it was three countries in one day. It was really interesting. And then, you know, they played a game in Zug, Switzerland, actually. And then they ended up playing in Stockholm for a couple of games against the Kings and Ducks. It was a unique trip, probably one we won't see again for a while. But those homecoming games are so remarkable. And the other thing about it, too, and I think we can move on from this, but just this last point, and you touched on a little bit, and Hurdle touches on it in the interview we're going to play for you shortly here. The idea of what this means to kids in particular. He said he does hockey camps in Prague, and those kids were saying, I can't wait to see you come back and you're going to be with your NHL team. And he said, it's motivation. It's a dream that they can look at and say, like you said, it's attainable. He's right there in front of you. And that's part of the reason why these games are so impactful. Business-wise, yes, absolutely. They're impactful for that purposes to showcase the NHL game in these markets that are hockey rich markets, but don't have NHL teams. But the other thing is the young kids that get an opportunity to see their heroes, basically their hometown heroes, and realize that if they can do it, hey, you know what? Maybe I can too.
Yeah, no, it's an unbelievable opportunity. And I know both those guys, despite how difficult it is for them to juggle the ticket requests and the time constraints, and, you know, they're not in either place for long and they got to see family and whatever. I thought it was really interesting. Roman Josi talked about all the people from his life that he's going to bring back. But while all this is going on, we're also getting ready for the NHL. The other 30 teams are getting ready for the NHL, and, you know, training camps, always an interesting time, right? There's battles for positions, there's injuries, there's, you know, new players being integrated. So there's no shortage of news here, Dan.
No shortage at all. And like I said, we're going to play the Hertl interview here in a second. Well, more than a second, but in a little bit. But there's injuries. I mean, like, that we're, you get the reality of it now, right? So we spend the summer, right, and the off season sort of, okay, where are these teams slot? Who's better? Who's worse? What do we think is going to happen? And then injuries just blow things up. Well, John Tavares is out for the start of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? He's out at least 3 weeks with an oblique injury. Could be longer. We don't know. That's a huge player for the Leafs, right? He's out. And now he could miss just a handful of games and it won't matter. But as you know, Sean, a handful of games in the NHL season could be the difference of making the playoffs and missing the playoffs. So we'll see. Brock Besser, and this one might be even more important. He had hand surgery 3 to 4 weeks. And I think the Canucks are a team that'll be more on the bubble than the Maple Leafs. That's a big time scorer for them. That's going to be out of the lineup for, could be up to 7 or 8 games. Those are huge 7 or 8 games. That's how you start your season. And Trevor Zegras, I mean, we're recording this on Thursday. On Wednesday night, he got popped hard, Sean. I mean, I watched it right before we started recording this again. And I don't love it because it's preseason, but it's hockey, right? I mean, you know, his head was up. I didn't get a good, I can't tell you I got a up close look of like, where was the hit? Was it borderline? All that. I don't love it because it's preseason. I don't love it because we want Trevor Zegras on the ice, but he's got an upper body injury. And again, we're recording this before the Ducks are going to give an update as we do this on Thursday, but didn't look good.
No, it doesn't. But that's the risk you run, right? The other player wants to make an impression too, right? And he's making it in a different way than Trevor Zegras and scoring fancy goals and whatever. And I think that's a thing that you always have to kind of juggle, right? Like, you look at the NFL and they cut their preseason games down this year. And in the first couple of weeks, a lot of players that you thought were going to be really good struggled because they missed that extra week of games. Right. And so I think coaches are loath to say, oh, these are my really good players, I'm going to hold them out, and they're first action is going to be action that counts. Like, I don't think the NHL is a game that you can do that with. I think you need to get up to game action. So, you know, you put your players in and you cross your fingers and you hope that, you know, there's no injuries, whether it's just a wear and tear injury of going from zero, although no players start at zero anymore, like they did when we both started covering the NHL. You know, they start at 90% and they got to get to 100, and you hope they don't pick up a groin injury or a lower back injury in doing that. And then you put them out on the ice and you hope nothing else happens to them. But you want to be an NHL coach, you have to deal with these things, right? Like the Flyers, Sean Couturier, he's their number one center. They don't know when he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. He's week to week with a back injury. You know, that could mean 2 weeks. That could mean 2 months. You know, for a long time, Ryan Ellis was week to week. And now he may not play this year after he didn't play last year. So, you know, these are hard things, but that's part of the NHL. And that's part of when you look at who the contenders are going to be, you know, where's the depth that makes that happen. So again, you're right. You look at the Maple Leafs and you're like, they can survive John Tavares. I don't think that's an issue. They have the depth to do it. You look at the Canucks, it's a little more difficult with Besser. You look at the Ducks and you're like, what? Trevor Zegras is the guy that drives the show there. Like, they need him. So hopefully he's back soon. But, you know, this is going to happen. It's going to happen for the next week. And it's what makes those final roster battles so interesting as we get towards like October 10th, when the final rosters have to be in and you're like, I wonder who's going to make it. And there's players, and this is a downside of the business. There's players sitting on those teams right now and saying, this is my opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And you got a couple of teams also trying to get accustomed to new coaches, the Sharks being one of them with David Quinn as their new coach. And Tomas Hertl, we teased it enough. Look, we talked to him a lot about a number of different things, going back to Prague, the beer there, as we said, the global series in general. We also talked to him about the Sharks and where they are right now. So let's play that interview with Tomas Hertl from Las Vegas. Tomas, thanks for joining us. So looking forward to going to Prague, getting an opportunity to play at home for NHL games at home.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, I think it'll be amazing. Because I don't know how many guys know it, but I got born in Prague, and actually we will play Arena when I play before two pro years before I got to the NHL. And when I was young, I was going for the men's hockey league, so I know the Arena, I know everything around it. So it's actually a dream come true. You know, I can bring my team to the Prague and play in front of my friends and family. So I think it'll be amazing.
So play a travel agent for us for a minute. Where are you going to take the boys to show them the essence of Prague?
It'll be a little tough because it'll be pretty quick, but I think on Wednesday or something, I will set up some dinner. I want to try not sure, but for sure I have to get them for the beer because I think our beer is one of the best. So I got some good spa for it. So hopefully the boys will enjoy it. And after that, it will be probably a little busy for me, but I got already kind of in my head planned if guys want to ask or show them, you know, where the place is. I think in the Prague, it's super easy to walk around it. So if you get to the downtown, everything is walking distance. But for sure, who never been in Prague, they have to taste the beer.
I agree 100%. I've been there a couple of times. The dark beer, which nobody drinks with the pig shank
The
brown gravy.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Exactly.
Sean's our resident beer guy on the podcast. No, if somebody who's never been on your team comes and says, hey man, I got 3 hours to kill or something like that, what do I do? Like, what's your thing what's your favorite thing to do?
If I'm early in the Prague, I just say like walking through the, you know, there is the Charles Bridge, you got the beautiful mm-hmm. view on the castle, and you walk like the small streets and, you know, and after you go to like big square where it's like a big tower, like the clock and everything is like from one point, it's like 20 minutes walk. So really like 2-3 hours, you can walk all through the town, see small streets with little stores and, you know, taste during the time. You have just like pubs with little windows. You can just step, hey, I want one beer, mm-hmm. take beer, you walk, you get another one maybe like hour later. And literally you can just walk through all the town and see a lot of different things, and you will really enjoy the time.
I would imagine it's been really fun to kind of connect to all the people that brought you to this point.
Yeah, 100%. I kind of settle down because I really just doing the tickets for the family and friends, because if I say one to friend, I have to say another, you know, 20 friends, and it's just, and one thing I'm not big a fan is dealing with the tickets, honestly. So I tell like the friends, like I don't like see them much. I tell a lot of people around it, you have to get them online, they still there, because I'm doing for I got big family and like a lot of close friends, and I settle like for that, because if I do for everybody, it'll be too much, and I don't, because when I get there, I want to just deal with the family, and I have to show the boys around, you know, everything, and I will probably have the media, and I want to still be ready because it's still two important games for the start of the season. It's not just, you know, like preseason games. So I have to, you know, put the line for everything.
Are there family members that have been going to the games that have never seen you play an NHL game?
Yes.
Yeah.
More from, it's like more from my wife family, but okay. a lot of my family already come, even my grandmother's once come, but there will be still some family members, they just see me on the TV, so I think that will be great experience for me, and especially for our team, I hope so, because Nashville doesn't have, you know, Czech guys, so
yeah.
Hopefully more people will be cheering for the Sharks, so So hopefully be a good atmosphere too.
And I wanted to ask you too, because the NHL has been going to Europe to play games for a number of years now, but there was a little bit of a break, the pandemic obviously, and now it's starting, the Global Series is starting back up. Put yourself in the shoes of a young kid who's going to be in Prague at the time and maybe going to the game. Like, what would it mean to you to get to see two NHL games, or one if you're lucky, you know, in person, if you've never seen it before?
It would be absolutely amazing, you know, and because for a lot of these, for a lot of kids, you know, it's so far away, you know, it's expensive to just go to the USA and like see a hockey game, and you got permanently just you born in the Prague and the game just coming to, and it means a lot, and see the best player in the world play in front of you. And I think for a lot of kids can get the motivation, you know, even more, and get more excited and work harder, you know, because they want to maybe do the same thing. Hey, Dad, I want to one year do the same thing. I want to be the player. I want to come with my team and, you know, in front of my family. So I think for all these kids, it'll be great experience. And I know that because I got hockey camp every summer. Yeah. So I already, like, know a lot of kids. They told me, I can't wait to see you in the Prague, play in the person. So it'll be a lot of fun.
On the flip side, having been to the games, the Global Series games before, it tends to bring out a lot of alumni from the NHL, from the host country. You know, there's a good chance Jágr will be at one of these games. There'll be other guys that you looked up to, and now you get to play in front of them. You get to play in front of Jágr in your home country. You get to play in front of other guys that you grew up idolizing. What's that experience going to be like?
Yeah, probably will come a lot of NHL players. I used to even play, or I play World Championship, and you kind of want to show them, you know, how good you are, because you start with them. You know, I was like first year of World Championship with Jágr, so he saw me like maybe 10 years ago, like when I was with him on the ice, and now maybe he will see me after 10 years how I grew up. So I think it'll be great experience, maybe, you know, see all other guys from NHL, they come down before the game or after, you know, and hopefully we will put good show and it'll be fun games to watch.
What do you think about Jágr being a coach now?
Yeah, I don't think so. He still say no to play yet, so who knows, he will.
He's saving himself for the playoffs.
Maybe for the playoff or the second half of the year, but yeah, you know, like he lived through the hockey all life, you know, hockey is mean to everything, So I think he will be great in it, because he was born for the hockey, and you know, he's still doing great job, because he's still doing so much for his team where he started, because he could say no, you know, he's still doing commercial for them because he wants, you know, he needs the money for the team, and he's doing for Team Kladno everything possible to keep them in the top league.
You have a new coach too, so you can bring it back to you know, that the Sharks and what you're, you know, what's all the changes. You know, I mean, for so long it was the stability of, you know, San Jose. Everybody knew what was going on there. It was stable and all that. And now a new GM, new coach. What do you make of all this? These changes. You're in long term. Like, you signed. You want to be there. So now, what do you make of the changes that have been made?
Yeah, honestly, it was a big change. Actually, when I just got here a couple of days ago, and I come to the locker room, and there was like so many new people. It's not just like GM coach. It's like under GM and like one trainer is new, and there's like a lot of people around it. So a lot of changes. But hopefully, you know, sometimes you need that, you know, new flow. And so far, you know, when I have talks with Mike or David, it was great. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, it wasn't easy last 3 years, you know, miss the playoffs, you know, especially when we so used to be in the, you know, every year we come to the, and we've been like, playoff is even in question, how far we will go to the playoff, you know, and the time has a lot changed, but I think I see the light. I don't know if we right away, but, you know, we're coming really good young guys, and we got a couple small changes, and I think we can turn around this thing.
Do you look at all at what David did with the Rangers and kind of say, hey, that's our team?
Yeah, I think he got a little different situation, but we got still a lot of young guys, but we got, like, I think the core, like, the vets is there, and I think he still did, you know, good job in Rangers, and I think it wasn't easy, you know, for him. He got in the big, you know, city Rangers, very expectation high, and he got a lot of young guys, and and look at them now, you know, and sometimes take a little time, but I'm with talks I have with him, I think it was great, and I know what he wants to do, and now we need all together, all 20 guys who will play, and all the coaches, and even if this year everybody, you know, expectation are low, I think we got still strong wet group, and if the young guys step up, we can fight for the playoff.
Do you like it that expectations are low? Because for so long, they've been so high in San Jose. Now these last couple of years have brought you guys down, but are low expectations kind of okay for you guys right now? Like, you know, maybe you can be a surprise team instead of,
yeah,
you know.
I think in our team, especially with our owner, he wants to be always on the top, and our expectation is still high for the outside, mm-hmm. you know, the hockey, I think we low, but I don't think so. We, you know, think about it like that, you know, and we still, you know, we got Kuch, Carly, and Timo, our expectation is still high. We want to fight for the best, and we ready for this challenge, but we knew for outside the world, we kind of low, but we want to prove it. We can fight and we can be a really good team. Even last year, after all the way to the break, we've been really good. We've been fighting. We beat a couple times the top teams, and we knew it was a couple things change up. We could fight all the way to the playoff, but if we will play system and let's be on the top of the game and the young guys step up, we know we can fight for the playoff.
We get away from hockey for a minute. We're here in Vegas, entertainment capital of the world. Everybody has an act that somebody wants to see. If you came here, what's the one act that you could do? What's the one skill that you have that you could charge admission for?
I don't know. I would try maybe comedy because I like to laugh. So I was actually, one of my best show was, oh, what is the name? It's in the Caesar, like a little tan. It was like, it's comedy. So something like that. It was like really funny and I like to laugh. So probably that, but I don't know other skills I had. Maybe dancing.
All right, so dancing. Let's play off of that. Now, this is a podcast, so we can't see it necessarily, but are you a dancer?
I don't know if I'm good, but I love to dance. So every like party or wedding, I don't need any drinks, and you hit my song and you see me there.
What's your song?
Anything. Anything, honestly, anything is good in my ears that time. I don't need any drinks, any, just like give me the music and I start dancing. I don't know if it's good or not, the people around have to say, but I like to dance.
You're the life of the party then.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, and I know our time's cutting short here, but I wanted to ask you too, because we are in Vegas again. It's entertainment, as Sean brought up. Who's the most entertaining player in the NHL right now? Doesn't have to be the best.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, who do you think? I think of a guy like Trevor Zegras, right? Like, yeah. Trevor Zegras, he's trying all these other kinds of moves that we haven't really seen before. But, like, is there a guy in your mind, is it maybe him, but is there a guy in your mind who's like, well, that guy's really entertaining on the ice?
Yeah, it's the NHL a little change. I remember when I was starting, was nothing. Now it's happened all the time, you know, some sick move. And I don't know, maybe it'd be him because he did, like, you know, a couple of special things this year and he's trying to play with the stick and he showing, like, the game is show, like, the game is changing with all these moves and I think people loves it. So maybe it'd be, I guess, Trevor right now.
Last one, do you have a move that you work on in practice that you want to break out sometime that's going to advance the trick shots?
I don't think so. I don't know if I have enough that skill like them. Now the Yankees case. I did once between the legs and I'm done with that. And and now because I knew sometimes how hard it's scoring in NHL, so I'm just try working, just put anyway, even if it's like somebody hit me or anything, I would just put it in the net and score the goal.
There you go. Score enough of them, maybe you guys will win, get to the playoffs. Thomas, thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good stuff there from Tomas Hertl, Sean. And let's talk Sharks a little bit. You know, we just heard from the guy who might be their best player on their team right now. New coach. They traded Brent Burns. They don't have a number one goalie. They don't. I mean, that's between James Reimer and Kaapo Kähkönen, maybe one of them can be eventually, but they don't really have a number one goalie. And a new GM, new culture that they're trying to set, a little bit different things going on there. I think expectations for them have to be relatively low. And I don't see them as a playoff team, but I wonder how that impacts guys like Hurdle and guys like Couture, Logan Couture and Eric Carlson and veterans who've been around, who've experienced, especially a guy like guys like Hurdle and Couture, who've experienced a lot of success in San Jose, having to deal with it being different now. You know, and I spoke with Logan Couture back in August about this, and he didn't talk about their expectations being low. He believes that they have a lot of talent, and they're young players like William Eklund and Tomas Bordalo coming up. You know, big time players coming up, and Hurdle is excited. You know, new coach, he wants, you know, believes things can get done there, and the division maybe allows for them to believe that. But I think there's too many holes, too many questions, and when your biggest, maybe your biggest question mark is in net, it's a big problem.
It's a huge problem, and their depth's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And their scoring depth is a huge problem. Look, last year they had four guys that scored more than 50 points, and Brent Burns was one of them, and now he's in Carolina. So, you know, you wonder where the offense is going to come from. You can talk about young players, and there's every reason to be excited about Eklund and Bordalo, but they're going to need time. Like, you have to be a really special player to come into this league and score a lot, especially. And you find most of the kids that do, they're surrounded by somebody, right? Like, there's somebody to take that pressure off of them and allow them to develop on their own. Hurdle maybe does that a little bit. Timo Meier maybe does that a little bit, but they're going to be front and center if they want to have success this year. And that's a big ask for a young player. So, you know, they may not be as far away as people think they are. And David Quinn has done a rebuilding job and accelerated it in New York, right? So, you know, he has the blueprint to do that, but I don't know that this is the year for that.
Well, he has the blueprint to do that, but Adam Fox came in and won the Norris Trophy. Artemi Panarin just decided to sign in New York because that's where he wanted to be. You know, like I give David Quinn a ton of credit for the transition in goaltender, but he was going from a guy who is likely going to be in the Hall of Fame to a guy who has become arguably the best, or if not the second best goalie in the league. Right. I mean, so he's done the rebuild, but what the Rangers did was a little bit different, I think, than, you know, and unique. And I know Montreal is probably trying to think the same along the same route, but it's hard to do that. You got to get guys to buy in real fast. You got to get the top free agent. You got to get the guy that come in and he's all of a sudden going to be one of your top defensemen. It's hard to do. The question that I have there with San Jose before we move on, Sean, Eric Carlson, I wonder, and I talked to David Quinn about this, and I talked to Logan Couture about this, and I wonder, if he is healthy, and it's a huge question mark, can he stay healthy, right? Because he hasn't been. That's been the thing that's really limited him in his time since getting to San Jose. But if he can stay healthy, and he says he is, without Brent Burns there, it opens the door for Eric Carlson to be the defenseman he was in Ottawa. But does he still have the wheels to do it? Does he still have the ability to be that player after all the injuries that he's had, plus a number of years of age on him since then? And that if he can cycle back a little bit to what he was, then you might be talking about a team that can be dangerous. But I can't say that for sure. I think it's too big of a question mark. And that leaves a lot of question about their D. And I think their defense is their biggest question. The goaltending is their biggest question mark. But if you look at their skaters, their defense is, I don't want to say problematic, because Carlson can solve a lot of that if he cycles it back to what he was. But it's very dangerously going the wrong direction.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. You can only go on history, right? Like, you can be like, hey, well, if he plays 82 games, he's going to be great.
Right.
He hasn't played more than 56 games as a San Jose Shark, right? He's played 53, 52, 56, and 50 last year. And he had 35 points in 50 games, which, you know, you'll take that if you can do it over 82 games. But there's no proof that Eric Carlson can play 82 games. If he does, I think it's a bonus. But I think if you're a GM or a coach and you're doing justice to your team, you have to assume that at this point in his career, Eric Carlson's a 60-game player. And if you get extra, great. But if you don't, this is the most you can expect. And, you know, that is problematic, that you can't count on them for a full year. And that, again, it's the depth, right? There's just not enough there to survive something like that. So, they're a bit away, and you're right, it's harder for them to attract players, and you know, it's not harder for them to draft players. Everybody has that equal shot to hit that needle in a haystack or whatever you call it. I mean, I know Adam Fox was a trade, but things are a little more difficult in San Jose. So maybe it's a little bit slower, but I think that they can go in the right direction and they can start it here. I think Dave Quinn has the legitimacy to say, I know what I'm doing. I've done it. And yes, he did get some breaks, but he still did it when nobody thought it was going to happen as fast as it did.
And I think he's going to be a better coach in his second go around in the NHL than in his first. And Mike Greer, they work together. They're both BU guys. Mike Greer's getting a first opportunity here to be a GM. And he understands time and patience is required there in San Jose. So they're a team to watch, certainly in the Pacific Division, but I don't think they're a playoff team. Quickly, let's dive into the mailbag. We're going to get to the Roman Josi interview that we did with him at the Player Media Tour in Las Vegas. And by the way, Roman Josi showcases us something in that interview that you do not want to miss. A little bit of a different side of himself that you wouldn't expect. So you got to listen for that. But let's touch on his division, because I got a question, Sean, in the mailbag this week. Who is the biggest competition, or who can present the biggest challenge to the Colorado Avalanche in the Central Division? And I still thought what I said was it's the Blues with kind of a stick tap to the Predators and Josi's team and the Dallas Stars. But I still think it's the Blues, the team that has been, the Avalanche have eliminated them from the playoffs the past 2 years. But you look at St. Louis, they're turning it over a little bit to Robert Thomas and to Jordan Kyrou. You still got Ryan O'Reilly there. You still got Tarasenko there, Binnington, Parayko, Krug. You got a lot of guys who have won a lot and have won the Stanley Cup or played in the Stanley Cup final. And I don't think the Avalanche are the same team. I mean, look, take it for what it is. But Alexander Georgiev just gave up 6 goals to the Vegas Golden Knights on 18 shots in his first game. Now, I'm not going to judge him on one preseason game, but I don't think the Avalanche are the exact same team. You know, they're not exactly as good as they were last year with some of the, you know, they have a hole at second line center. And I think there's an opening there. I'm not saying the Blues are going to go win the division, but they're the team that I think in that division can challenge them the best. And we're on Zoom. I'm looking at you and you're kind of making a face here like you completely disagree with me.
I don't disagree. I'm just trying to remember how many teams are in the Central Division. And I think it's 8.
Correct.
And you picked 4 of them.
No, I didn't.
Yes, well, you did.
I picked 3 of them to challenge 1, but it was a stick tap, a little bit of a nod to the Predators and Stars, but the Blues are the team that are going to give them the biggest challenge. The Blues are the team that are going to give the Colorado Avalanche the biggest test to finish first in that division.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think the Nashville Predators will be more difficult than maybe you think. I think it is a 3-team race for the most part, mainly because of UC Soros and the fact that I think he can be even better than he was last year. And he was a Vezina finalist last year. So, I think that they're going to be in that mix. But look, I covered that Blues series against the Avalanche. And until Jordan Binnington got hurt, it was kind of a coin toss, right? Like, the thing with the Blues is they play really hard. They play a hard game, but they do it at speed, right? There's other teams in this league that are like, well, we're going to play you hard. We're going to make you fight for every inch of the ice. And then Cale Makar skates past them. And he's like, oh, you want to play hard, but you can't hit me, right? And the Blues can hit you. They can skate with you. They can score. They can do all the things that need to be done. And when Jordan Binnington plays like he did last year in the playoffs, instead of like he had played since winning the cup, they're a completely different team. So if they get that Jordan Binnington, they'll give Colorado fits, because I don't believe Colorado's the same team. I think it's a huge loss at second line center. And I'm not in love with their goaltending. And I know they overcame average goaltending last year. But this is a little bit different to me, and everything that conspires against winning twice in a row, and the teams that have done it on the back of really good goaltenders, because you do hit slumps and you do have to fight through stuff, and you need a goalie to steal you some games. And I just don't know that Colorado has that.
It's funny to me that you said the teams that have done it on the back of really good goaltending, and you're 100% right. we're going to argue when coming out of the, you know, before we close this, we're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending, and Matt Murray is one of them, and he won back to back with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now it's a question of who is he even still a legitimate NHL goaltender, right? I mean, like, it's amazing how quickly it goes. But you're right, like, I like the Blues to challenge them the best. I don't know that I can say that they're going to win the division. I still have to pick the Avalanche to finish first in that division. But you touched on Nashville and UC Saros, probably the best goalie in the division, right? I mean, if he's healthy last year, it's not a cakewalk, you know, for them either in the playoffs. So that's a different story as well. But again, back to Yossi, because we were able to catch up with him. We talked to Yossi about, as we talked about before, going to Bern, his hometown, with the Predators. We talked to him about 96 points last year and trying to recreate that again this season. He mentioned about a mental coach that he has. We talked to him a little bit about what's going on at home with an 18-month-old and a 2-month-old, and he gave us, I'm going to call it a talent, all right? I'm going to go out there on a limb and call it a talent, because or at least the guts to try it, because I didn't have it and you didn't have it, right, Sean? So Roman Yossi did a little bit of that, but we talked about the Predators too. So here's that interview with Roman Yossi.
Hi, Roman. So you did not get to go home this summer because family reasons. You had a kid, so you stayed in Nashville, but you do get to go home for the start of the season. You get to go back to Bern to play a game with your NHL team. What's this experience going to be like for you?
Yeah, it's going to be special. I grew up 5 minutes away from that rink, played my whole junior career in Bern, played some 3 years of pro there. And just to go back now and play against that team, with an NHL team, is pretty cool. My whole family's still there. All my best friends I grew up with are there. And it's going to be really special. I think it's obviously my favorite club in Switzerland, and I feel like we have a pretty special bond with the fans there, because I grew up there and been there for such a long time, and the fans are amazing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Will there be a lot of family and friends that have never seen you play as an NHL player live?
My one of my grandmas has never been over here, so she saw me during the lockout year 2013, but she hasn't seen me play since. So I'm really, really excited for her to come to a game, and it's been like almost 10 years since she seen me play, so it'll be cool.
Did you promise a goal for her?
I did not, no.
Come on. But,
that's a little, I don't know if she cares about if I score or not. She just wants to be there and watch the game. But it'll be cool. It's just in general, there's a lot of people that never been over here, and so it'll be cool for me to see them, and and it's just special for me to play on an NHL team. So it's my dream to play an NHL team, and to play against my other favorite team is really cool.
Have you ever played against a former team?
No.
This will be your first time, right?
Yeah.
Playing against the jersey that you used to wear.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be a little, like, is it strange, or is it just not because you're so far removed from it?
I don't think it is, because it's not like a regular season game, right? Where you switch teams in the NHL and play against your old team. It's kind of more of a, like, it's like more of a homecoming for me, kind of. And so I think it'll be like, obviously it'll be special, and I don't think it's strange, because I didn't switch teams in Switzerland, right? So
it's not the first time that you've played, I guess, with an NHL. You played against an NHL team in that arena when you were with Bern in 2008 and the Rangers were there. So let's go all the way back to that now, 14 years ago, because that was the first time that you ever played a game against an NHL team. What was that like?
That was cool. I remember the day before when they came in and practiced, and I think I was 17 at the time, and I wasn't drafted yet, and it was just really cool. I was like, wow, this is like an NHL team practicing right now, and you see all these, like, Scotty Gomez was on there. They had so many great players, and the game itself was really cool too. We lost 8-1, but it was pretty special for me.
Is your youth coach from Bern still around?
Like a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys actually are coming to the game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how cool is that going to be for you to look in the stands and kind of see the whole progression, right, of everybody that's ever helped you get to where you are now.
Yeah, I actually, that was one of the things I my mom helped me get in contact with all my youth coaches that I had, like the main coaches, and we asked them to come to the game. So that'll be pretty cool to see just where it started and now being back and playing with the NHL team.
You must have a full schedule, a full slate of things that you've got going on there. So what are some of the things that you will be doing when you go back? Because it's a limited time, right? It's just a couple of days, right?
It's quick. Yeah, it's only 3 days. I think we get there on a Saturday, and I don't think we get to Bern until like 7. So I'm going to hang out with my family that night, go for dinner with the family. And then the next day we have practice, and we'll have some kids come out and skate with us after our practice. And then we have a team dinner, and then the next day's the game, and then we leave. So it's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's.
Is there a Swiss dish that you have to have when you go home?
Yeah, either like, I mean, you kind of have to have a raclette or fondue. Those are like the two main dishes. But I actually make raclette over here sometimes too.
What is that exactly?
Raclette is like, so it's cheese pretty much, but you put in like in a little oven and. You have like four little, it's hard to explain, but you have like, you can, it's like a grill kind of. On top, you make like vegetables, you can put sausage on there, and then under it, you put the cheese in, and it just kind of melts. It's good.
I'd imagine that the team is going to be looking to you for the team dinner, right?
Yeah.
There's pressure on you.
I know.
There right? is. Do you feel pressure?
I do. Everybody keeps asking me, like, what should I do there? Where should I go? And there's definitely a little pressure, but.
You got better pick the right place.
I know. I think we found a good spot. but yeah, it wasn't easy. I did feel the pressure a little bit.
Are you going to ride your bike to the game?
No.
For old time's sake?
But we should, I told our team manager, I told him we should all take the tram to the game. Because it's pretty easy. We're like staying downtown and you take the tram 10 minutes and you get right to the rink. So I think we should all do that.
You'll have to wear a costume though.
So, not the Winter Classic.
So nobody knows who you are.
No.
You'll never get there.
I'll be fine.
But no, we talk about this. It's the start of another season. You're coming off of a season that was, I mean, look, you had 96 points, 4 points shy of being the first defenseman to get 100 since, I think it was Brian Leetch in 91-92. That's pretty good company that you're keeping right there. Have you thought about, personally, not team-wise, as I know what you want to do team-wise, but have you thought about personally for you, like, can you match that? Can you exceed that? Can the season be better than that for you?
I don't know. I try not to think about that too much. And I think one of the things I learned from, like, when I won the Norris that year, the next year I wasn't too happy with my year, and I felt like I was putting a lot of pressure on myself of getting better. Like, I wanted to, like, after I won Norris, I wanted to be, like, take that next step and be even better. And I kind of just started comparing, like, you start comparing every game to your last season, and it's kind of, it's, I think it's not great for you, and puts a lot of pressure on yourself. So I think, yeah, the 96 points, I don't, if you ever ask me if I ever get 96 points, I wouldn't have believed you, obviously. And I think there's a lot of things that went right for me for that to happen. So I try to go into the season with just trying to be my best, but I try not to compare years too much, because I think it hurts more than it helps you.
Did you figure that out yourself, or did you talk to somebody and kind of get a perspective on it? Like, how did you come to the realization that you can't do that?
I figured it out myself, but also I have a mental coach that I talk to a lot, and I just realized... It almost felt like the next year, like nothing, like for me personally, nothing I did was good enough, because you always try to match or live up to that the season before, and or even try to be better. So I think that's just not healthy as a player. I think you things happen in hockey, and sometimes not everything is in your control. So comparing too much of. Like see too much of two seasons is it didn't help me, and it just put too much pressure on myself.
How long have you had a mental coach, and how does that help you?
Like 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah,
it's helped me a lot. It was I always felt like confidence was kind of something that comes and goes, but I feel like by working with him, it was something that I could like make sure if it did go away, it only went away for like a quick second, and you have some tools that you can work with that that it comes back quicker. And but you know, you're still learning every year, and every year is a little different, but it definitely helped me a lot.
What are those tools? Is it visualization? Is it?
Yeah, like a lot of things. Like visualization is definitely a big thing. And just when you come back, for example, when you come back to the bench, just taking a breath and just kind of like staying more in the moment. And I mean, they're all like cliche things, but they really do work. So and just having someone to talk to, I think too. You got someone to talk to after. If you have a couple bad games, you have someone to talk to, and a lot of times you're your biggest critic, and you look at your game a little. You make your game look worse than it actually is, and you have someone to be like, "Hey, like there's a lot of good things too, which can help too." So it's just like a different perspective a little bit.
For you, also, you're in it at home too. What do you have? An 18-month-old and a 2-month-old, right?
Yeah.
So, how's life different now?
It's definitely different with two, but it's been awesome. It's been so much fun. Our 18-month-old, he's starting to talk, and you can really see his personality now. So it's been a lot of fun, and having a little girl now too. She's awesome, actually. She's a great sleeper. We've been really lucky, so I think that makes it a lot easier. But yeah, it's been busy but awesome summer.
I was gonna say you're in like the 1% of people that comes to Vegas to get some sleep.
Yeah, I went to bed at 9 p.m. yesterday. I couldn't wait to get to my room and just order some room service and watch a movie and go to bed.
I'm curious, because you know, before kids, you probably have things that you do off the ice, away from hockey, that were different. Like, are you what have you had to sacrifice, I guess, to have your family life?
Yeah. Well, you just got to pick your spots. You don't, like, I love to golf. So I got to pick my spots on when to golf. And you just kind of, like, you want to spend a lot of time. Like, I want to spend a lot of time with my family, because I know once the season comes, it gets really busy again, and you won't see your family, like you go on road trips for a week or two. So you kind of just want to pick your spots whenever you want to. For example, golf is one thing I love to do in the summer, but definitely not as often anymore, but that's okay. I mean, it's obviously a huge blessing to spend so much time with your family.
Yeah, no question about it.
If we were to have a talent show here with all the NHL guys that are
question.
Here.
I love this question. Go. I love it.
What's your talent? What are you putting up on stage for everybody to judge you on?
My talent?
Changing a diaper?
Yeah, probably right now. I don't know. We actually, my wife, we did that the other day, and I said beatboxing. But I'm not that good. Don't make me do it.
I was just going to come out of my mouth. I want a sample.
Once I said it,
you saw my eyes light up.
No, I used to do it when we were kids, like in school. We used to do it. But because I feel like you get asked that question a lot, I never have an answer, so I just said that. But I'm not that good.
And you're not going to do it for us.
You won't do it.
Do you want to do it? I'll try it.
You're going to try it?
If it's really bad, we'll cut it out.
If it's really bad, we'll cut it out. How about that?
All right, you guys can be honest, though.
All right.
All right. All right.
That's fantastic. That's right. It's good. It's better than I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So. That's the first time anyone's ever beatboxed on this podcast. So that's a first as well.
Right now,
go home and work on it.
Right now, you're winning the talent contest.
You're winning. Yeah, you're the only one that's displayed talent. So. Yeah.
We'll send you the trophy.
Oh man, it's tough to follow that up. But I did want to ask you one other question, because there's so much. The game itself has become. I mean, it's always been an entertaining game, but there's so much entertainment, so many entertaining players that have come into the league now in the last 4, 5, 6 years. We're in Vegas, right? We talk about talent show, entertainment, and all that. Who's the most entertaining player in the league to you? Doesn't have to be the best player, but just most entertaining.
I don't know. I still have to go with McDavid, I think, because it's just like so special to watch him play, like how explosive he is. And just I feel like you watch him and you're like, every shift you're like, wow. And so I know it's probably the boring answer, but well, he is just...
So when he has the puck and you're on the ice and he starts to wind up, what are you thinking?
Oh, go back. Like, like he's like, well, he's, I feel like as a D-man, you're like, you try to have a good gap on guys and you try to like make sure you're playing aggressive, but he's like one of those guys where you're like, okay, I'm just going to give him some space and back up a little bit so he doesn't just go by me. And I feel like you have to like play him a little different almost.
Do you feel safe in your highlight reel against McDavid? There's not too many, highlights on his part, right? Yet.
He made a like pretty nice move around me one time, and then he kind of went through Ellis' stick and put it in. Like that was a nice goal, but I mean he has so many highlights, so I think that one kind of just people didn't really show it that much. They don't talk about it too much, but it was a nice play.
All right, do you want to beatbox again before we get out of here?
Let's try one more time.
You want to try one more? No, that was fantastic. This was great. Thanks so much, Roman. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dan, you undersold it. That is a talent, right? We can't beatbox. If you would have, and we asked every player this during the Vegas media tour, you know, Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world. What would be your hidden talent at a talent show? Which would be unbelievable. An NHL talent show. Steve Mayer should have done this when we were there. It would be out of this world. But credit to Roman Josi. He was the only one that displayed his talent. Most guys were like, I don't have a talent. Some guys did. You heard Hurdle. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He did not tell us a joke. I bet he probably has a couple of good jokes, but he didn't
laugh.
He laughed a lot, and he could dance. There were a couple of guys that could dance, and I think we could put together a pretty good show, but all the credit in the world to Roman Josi for breaking out his beatboxing skills. It was fantastic. So it's great when the players show their personality like that. I think when you have the ability to let people see behind the visor, so to speak, it just adds to your luster as a player, right? Like we want to know these guys. We want to know what makes them tick and what makes them laugh and what makes them happy. And to show that, I think is a gift that fans really appreciate.
I almost didn't know what to do when Josi beatboxed. Like I was kind of lost in the moment and I had to reel it back in and be like, wait a minute, we're recording an interview here. Right. I mean, but it was the first time that I've ever done an interview with anybody. I'm sure you're too, and they beatboxed. So I it was unique, and I almost didn't know what to do. But you're right.
Here's the big question, though, Dan. What would your talent be?
I don't know. Like, I have thought about it. Like, I don't know what my talent would be, to be honest with you. Like, I'll tell you what. It's fall, right? It's apple picking season, right? We're gonna go apple picking as a family. I can make a mean apple pie. That might be my talent. Well, I can make a darn good apple pie.
I don't know how you do that in Vegas during a talent show, but
it'd take a little while. But hey, they do it on the like the Today Show where they do cook a whole meal in like 2 minutes. So, you know. But yeah, it was great to see that side. And that's part of what we tried to do with a lot of what we did at the Player Media Tour was get the personality out of the players, you know, get that side of it. We see them on the ice. We know what they can do. These are all the top players in the world, but who are they outside of that? And I thought it was great that Roman Josi decided to show us a little bit of himself.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic, but we do care about the hockey too. And before we leave, we should probably talk about some other hockey stuff. And one of the biggest questions I think going into the last week of the preseason here is who's going to be the number one in Toronto, right? Everything revolves around the Toronto Maple Leafs and they're dealing with a ton of injuries. Rasmus Sandin just signed, which was important for them. They got him in for 2 years today, Thursday, as we do this, and he's important to their defense, which is a little banged up. And I think that spurred him to sign, to kind of look at it and say, there's an opportunity here. I better get into camp and I better get ready. But there's no question that the biggest question of them all is who's going to be the number one goalie? Is there a number one goalie there? And is there someone that can save everybody's job? Right, because it's Kyle Dubas is at the end of his contract. There's no extension. What happens on the ice this year is going to determine everything, and his future will determine the futures of other people and the direction that the team goes in from here. They've stuck with their core through thick and thin. And we talked to the Toronto Maple Leafs who came through Vegas and sense about, you know, the loyalty of the core and what that means. But all of it's moot if they can't find somebody to stop the puck. And, you know, who's that going to be?
Samsonov, Ilya Samsonov. I think he should. He's going to be the guy. For me, he's 25 years old. He's got loaded with potential. He's a guy who was never really given an opportunity in Washington to take the ball and run with it. And the most he played was last season, and his goals against was not great, and his save percentage wasn't great. And I get that. Fresh start for him. Learn something there. If he could come in and be the, if he can be the goalie that he came into the league with that projection, then he's a number one goalie. You know, I mean, he's a first round pick. He's in 2015, and goalies take a while. This is 7 years now. It's time. He's 25. And this is usually when these types of goalies take off. There's too much bad history in the last couple of seasons with Matt Murray for me to believe that Matt Murray now at 28 is all of a sudden going to cycle it back and be the goalie he was for the Pittsburgh Penguins, which, by the way, he was okay. He wasn't great with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were a very good team. They were like the Avalanche. They were a team that needed stable goaltending to win, right? And the Maple Leafs need, I think, a little bit better than that. And I can't sit here and say with what we saw from Matt Murray the past few seasons in Ottawa, that he's going to be the guy that provides stable goaltending. I think the better chance is with Ilya Samsonov. And I think that they signed him to a one-year contract as a prove-it deal. And I think he's the guy that's going to be the one that takes the reins for them. But is it going to be good enough? That's the other question, right? I mean, I think he's the guy who's going to take the reins for it, but I don't know if he's going to be the one that carries them, you know, deep into the playoffs and saves jobs. I'm not so sure he can do that. But he's the better choice right now.
He may be the better choice right now, but, you know, you say he wasn't given an opportunity. Opportunities aren't given in the NHL. They're earned. He had every opportunity to earn the chance to be a number one. All the pedigree you talked about, first round pick. Look, the Washington Capitals wanted this to work. They wanted him to be a number one, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't take the job and make it his own. And finally, the Capitals were like, well, he's not going to take the job. We need to start over. And his backup's not going to take the job. So we're going to completely start over. And, you know, they went out and got Darcy Kemper, and they're going to make a go of it that way. It scares me that somebody – look, Washington's a great hockey market, and they've been a good team for a number of years. They've won a cup and you know, clearly have immense talent. It's not Toronto. It's not a place where when you have one bad game, the world ends. Mm-hmm. It's not a place where the goalie's asked for all the time to explain himself. That's Toronto, especially this year. You know, every game is going to be a statement game on what management's decided and how they've approached the season and what the future holds. I mean, there's this guillotine basically hanging over the Toronto Maple Leafs that they've created for themselves with the expectations that are naturally there on top of, you know, hey, this is the prove it year. This is the make or break year. And now you're going to run out of a guy who couldn't take the number one job in Washington and say, he can handle it. He can handle the pressure. He can be the number one. He can be the guy that makes us good enough to get past the first round of the playoffs. That's a pretty good leap of faith right there.
The Leafs might not have a choice because Matt Murray's injury history suggests, and you talked about it before with Erik Karlsson, right?
Yeah.
His injury history the last few years suggests he might get hurt again. And this decision and this debate that we're having here, it might be settled for the Leafs eventually because Murray could get hurt again. And look, Samsonov obviously could get hurt. Anybody can get hurt. I understand it, but we're talking about history. We're talking about what we know of a player. And look, that injury history doesn't lie, and that, so it might be settled for them eventually that it is Samsonov. But also, and this debate was done by Tom Galitti and Mike Zeisberger on NHL.com. And Zeisberger brought up a really good point. He said, you know, Matt Murray's a stand-up goalie, and it's harder with the league right now with stand-up goalies, the way the players are shooting and covering your angles. So that's number one. And number two, Samsonov worked this offseason with Igor Shesterkin and Curtis Sanford, the Leafs goalie coach, and Zeiss brought this up too, went and talked to him and worked out with him and did a few things. So to me, it comes together that it's Samsonov that's the favorite here. But I asked the question, like, I can't say, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm not saying to myself, well, I feel great because Ilya Samsonov is going to save my job. Now, I wouldn't feel very good if I was Kyle Dubas.
No, and as you probably know, and anybody who's listened to this long enough knows, I'm not a very sentimental human being, but I'm really pulling for Matt Murray. Like, he's had a couple of really tough years, personally, professionally, health-wise. Things have not gone ideally for him. For him to come into Toronto and be good enough to take that job and to instill confidence in the team as they go into the playoffs and look like the player who stole the job from Marc-Andre Fleury would be one of the greatest stories of this year, of this season. I mean, it would be storybook, you know, if it were to happen. I would love to see it happen. I don't know that it can, but I would certainly love to see it happen. And I know the fans in Toronto would love to see it happen. So we'll see.
Kyle Dubas would love to see it happen. Sheldon Keefe would love to see it happen. Just one of these two guys take it and run with it. And that's going to be a thing. It's going to be a storyline all season, I think, in Toronto. But it's fascinating to talk about right now. And it's a good way to end, I think, too, Sean. I mean, look, we had Tomas Hertl talking about how he's a comedian. The Sharks going back to Prague. We had Roman Josi beatboxing, going to Bern. We talked a little Blues and Avalanche, a little Leafs goalie. This was, you know, we're getting closer to the season here. We're getting there, Sean. So we'll do it again next week. And hopefully, right, we'll get some more news before we, you know, before we jump on again.
Yeah, no, I think if my math is right, and again, we don't write because we love math.
Yeah.
We write so we can avoid math as much as humanly possible. But if my math is right, we have one more episode before the puck drops for real, at least in North America.
Maybe
we
two.
Might, yeah. We might be banging up against the European start to the season, but we may be doing this with me in Newfoundland next week for Kraft Hockeyville. They're playing the Montreal Canadiens and Ottawa Senators play their last two games in Newfoundland and Moncton, I believe, and John Lane's going out to that game. But they're playing in Gander, and the town that won is Twillingate. And it's going to be a great trip. I was out there this summer for personal business, and now for hockey to go out there is going to be unbelievable. The Cup was there this summer with Alex Newhook, and it was an unbelievable celebration. So we'll do next week, preseason again, and you might get me after I've been screeched in for the second time, and then we'll be ready to drop the puck for the regular season.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Zoom. Nobody else on the podcast, no listening, can see it, from Newfoundland, and we'll do it next week right before the Sharks and Predators open the season. Enjoy the hockey.